Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest American Horror Story news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story, Season 1, Episode 9, Spooky Little Girl. We have got a full house tonight. As always, I'm your host, Billy Nellis, joined by David Scifoletti.
Hello.
Deidre Bahar, and a newcomer with us tonight, Sydney DeBear. Yeah. And on the couch, our very lovely special guest,
Miley Cyrus.
Yes, Miley's here.
Stephanie Chaplick. All right, so let's get into Spooky Little Girl, because there was a lot.
Spooky Little Girl.
There was a lot this week. It wasn't as scary as we've seen in the past couple of weeks, but there was some really great reveals.
Yes.
Good, solid, dramatic moments.
A lot of info.
Yeah. It was a great transition episode, I think, moving us into the end game of the final episodes of the season. You're waiting to say something.
Don't say that.
I am, because I enjoyed the episode a lot. I always love this show. I think it's fantastic. I think it's cinematically beautiful, and I think the writing is fantastic. I just think that the introduction of another character like the Black Dahlia, who's as iconic as the Black Dahlia, was unnecessary for this episode.
Okay.
Yeah, I can agree on that. I kind of liked it. I thought it added something to it, and I liked that, okay, they're basically saying that the murderer was the original owner of the house, the doctor, which is fine with me because they weren't trying to rewrite history, at least, because that's a fictional character. But I agree, she came and went, and is that the end of her, or is it a recurring role?
Was she actually necessary to move the story forward, is what I'm saying.
But I don't think they put her in there because she's, quote, necessary. I think it's entertainment value.
Well, for sure, but every other character that we've been introduced to has been necessary to move the story forward.
I mean, I just love that, like you said before, you think it's cinematically shot so well. I think that bringing in the Black Dahlia brought that whole element of old Hollywood, even the music that they played in the opening scene. I'm just so hooked.
The Sex
Line
and the
sinker.
City shot of shoes up.
Yeah. I think it added a cool element to the show. Whether or not it was necessary, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right. And I think that it was kind of cool that they've been positioning this house, you know, in the world of American Horror Story, this is like the central of real crime in Los Angeles, and they sort of, by bringing in a real life murder mystery and making it be a part of the history of this house, because the Black Dahlia case is so unsolved and there's so many different answers to that story and no one really knows, that I think it kind of grounded it in a reality of Los Angeles, which I think was kind of cool that they were sort of positioning it as not completely fiction, and they'd wanted it to ground it a little more.
All right.
Which I thought was interesting.
I'll give you that.
On an unrelated note, awesome to see Mina Suvari.
Amazing.
I haven't seen her in quite a while, and she has so much acting chops. I'm sorry, to play a role like that, she had to be seductive, she had to be sort of creepy. I think she did such a wonderful job playing that role. Her face was so perfect for that role.
Yeah.
Everyone that they bring into the show, every guest star, has brought a surprising element that I don't think that we've ever expected from them. Like watching Eric Stone Street come into the show for his episode and do what he did. Mm-hmm. They've consistently brought these guest stars in who have done something that I think shocked and surprised in a good way.
Completely.
The audience.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're watching. Used to Eric Stone Street on Modern Family. I know Mina Suvari mainly from American Pie. So to see her play a role like that, you know, Eric Stone Street's a good example of a character who literally did nothing for the show. He was just Ben's patient.
Well, but he was Ben's patient.
Oh, and you think the Black Dahlia is just completely inane out of and left pointless?
Field.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, let's get into it. I want to start tonight talking about Constance and her boy toy love.
Her man child.
Dog walker extraordinaire, Travis.
Why do they call him Jailbait?
Jailbait?
Because she's like 80 years old.
I'm sorry, but he looks to me like he's 25.
Okay, if not older, but yeah. Still.
But he's not of appropriate
age for her. I understand. But then when he was hooking up with Hayden, she said something like, are your parents, didn't she allude?
She said, is your mom going to get mad? I think she's
alluding to Constance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because at first when I was watching it, I was like, did he sneak out of his mom and dad's house to go hook up?
No, she was referring to how much older Constance is than he.
Okay. So glad we settled that.
That was good. But so Constance was going through a lot this week. She's still reeling from the loss of Addie. Mm-hmm. And in the first scene with her, we see she's just drunk and she's painting in her kitchen and she's really sort of...
I love that she got wasted and is just going to like watercolor in the kitchen. So artistic of her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I ever want to do.
Right. Get wasted in your kitchen and channel your inner Van Gogh.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And she has this scene with Travis where she's, you know, still really... We got to see how little time has passed from Addie and how she's not over it yet. And how she's still processing this, that she's lost yet another child, but yet another one of these things that she holds so dear has been taken from her.
And again, another child who she lost out of her control.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so she has this great fight with him. And I love that this occurs often when he says, I hate when you drink. And mm-hmm. And she...
Well, I mean, clearly Constance is not the nicest person in the world. And then drinking just makes it a thousand times worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It just lets her let go completely of what any social grace she has is out the window completely. Completely. And so she sends him on his way to go get cigarettes.
A carton of cigarettes from the Koreans.
And to walk
in
the dog.
In her words, not mine.
Words. Yeah.
Go walk down to the Koreans and give me a carton of cigarettes.
Great Jessica Lange impression.
Yeah, that was really
impressive.
Quality. If they ever need someone for ADR, hire David Cicilletti.
I'm free all the time.
But so she sends him, what I thought was so weird about the scene, she sends him on a walk with that dog and then we never saw the dog.
Yeah.
And then he's like having sex with Hayden afterwards and like, where did the dog go?
Well, we never saw the dog in the house.
Right.
We never saw him actually walking the dog.
Yeah. They kept shot Hayden, like above.
Well, no, Hayden made reference to it.
Well, yeah, she made reference
Everyone
to
made
where
reference
the hell
to it,
was
it,
the
no,
dog.
No, the dog was there. You saw it when he was talking to Hayden in the little corner.
Did you?
Did I imagine?
Like, I think you imagined that.
I remember hearing...
I'm pretty sure there wasn't a dog, because what kind of dog was it?
There was a dog. It was like a little dog.
Oh, it was a dachshund, yes.
It was a little dog.
We saw it for a second when he was walking on the sidewalk.
Yeah, and then... you're not crazy.
I was like, oh my God,
it's messing with you too.
Yeah, they're going to send me the loony bin next.
No, there was the dog, but I don't know what happened to it when they were having sex.
Yeah.
I don't know where this dog went.
And because all I remembered hearing, I heard like the collar jangle, but that was all that I heard. I don't ever remember. We're actually seeing photographic evidence of the dog.
You were completely tuned out to the dog.
Maybe David just doesn't like dogs. Do you not?
I love dogs.
Okay.
Don't put that out into the ether.
Regardless, it was still odd that the dog was hiding.
But they didn't reference where it went.
What it did for that, whatever, 25-minute romp in the hay.
45.
And they're so young. It was supposed to be a 15-minute excursion.
That took 45. So it was a half an hour sex.
We're going to do some math right there.
Why would it be 30? He lives next door.
45 minutes.
But it was supposed to be a 15-minute walk.
Plus, that turned into 45 minutes.
So therefore, there's
so minus the 40 minus 15.
No, I get the math.
Was the 30 minutes that he had sex on top of the 15 minute walk that took 45 minutes.
All right, I mean, because he actually did get the cigarettes. Yeah. Okay,
math obviously not David Skipley's strong suit.
Let's never talk about this again.
This conversation in my SAT scores.
Can you talk about Hayden's first time having sex with an alive man?
Well, yeah, let's.
Let's. Thank you. I was trying to help you transition.
Well, she
demon baby.
She and Travis have sex.
Yeah.
And she
basically used him.
Right.
Well, yeah. To find out if
she could.
Right.
If it was possible.
And I guess she's apparently extra horny now that she's dead.
Right. We saw
it was the
last week, the week before when she
Who
said
did
that.
Did she have sex with in the basement?
Him, and then she tried to have
No, not this week.
She had sex with Constance's husband, and then stabbed
him. That was in a bed, though. But she did have sex with someone in the basement.
No, she tried to have sex with Tate, but he didn't do it.
Right,
okay, right.
And that's when she said, why is being dead making me so horny?
But weren't they mutually using each other? He was obviously pissed about getting into a fight with Constance, who he cares about, so he just used her as the revenge.
Completely.
And it apparently made him realize that he really loves Constance.
Right.
And wants to...
Have her baby.
Right, and Constance is on this kick because, as we see this week, she finds out through Moira that Tate has, in fact...
I knew he was the rubber man. I knew it.
You get credit for that.
Tate has, in fact, impregnated Vivian partially.
Partially.
That's the weirdest.
One baby.
Well, let's go ahead and allude back to, I believe, the episode that David, Billy, and I did about 3 weeks ago. And David Scifolitti, I don't like admitting when he's right, but he did allude to that mysterious
one
in a million chance where you can actually be pregnant with twins, but they both have different fathers.
Right.
And can I tell you where I learned that? Grey's Anatomy. Not Maury Povich.
Mr. Connie Chung. That's what my sister said. She's like, it happened on Grey's Anatomy.
Yep.
I was like, oh.
Did it really?
I don't remember.
So it was a different discussion.
And a black woman had a white child and a black baby.
Well,
who were twins.
Drama.
But okay, are they considered twins?
They are considered twins.
Fraternal.
They're fraternal twins.
But they'd be like, I feel like they're like half brothers.
They
have the same mother.
Right, but they don't
That's what a half brother is. They have different fathers and same mother.
Right.
That's where it gets confusing.
Because twins have to have like,
half.
I don't think they can be twins.
Egg and split.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
Yeah, that's what identical twins are.
Identical twins, but fraternal twins are separate eggs.
Okay, so they're fraternal twins and half siblings.
Half twins.
And they're half twins.
They're half twins.
Yeah. But I think that would even
I feel like that would even preclude
them from being fraternal twins because a twin still has to have a replicate DNA.
Right. So
and
they
this,
would be
these wouldn't.
Did
they
we
would
ever
just,
did we ever determine if fraternal twins have the same DNA?
They would because they're from the same father and mother. There would just be like genetic differences in their looks because that's all that changes.
And their sex.
But sisters
have the same father and mother.
And you have the same. Your genetic makeup, you get the same markers from your parents.
But everybody has individual DNA. That's why you have fingerprints.
This is like blowing my mind.
Well, fingerprints aren't your DNA.
I don't have fingerprints.
I know, but I'm saying, doesn't every person who's not an identical twin have some sort of a unique
Chappie
identification?
Has an iPad. Look it up.
Yeah, Chappie,
we'll look
please.
It up. We'll get back to it.
Yeah. Chappie is about to kill herself.
I don't even know what's going on right now. Like, how did we get onto this?
Okay, enough biology class.
So,
okay.
Regardless, Constance wants one of the babies.
Because one of them's Tate's.
Yeah, right. So she's the grandmother, so she wants to take
lo and behold, everybody wants the freaking baby.
Yeah. Everyone's out for babies.
That's why Tate did it, was because of... And that's why he killed those
He did it for the...
Tate did it for Nora. Tate did not do it
for
Constance.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. This is my question.
Because he hates her.
So Tate wants to give Nora a baby. So everybody that's moved in, he's tried to, in the rubber man outfit...
Hook up with them. Or make sure that a baby comes in, because that's why he killed the boys.
The rubber man outfit did not come into play until Chad bought the rubber man outfit.
Yeah. Okay.
And... Tate killed Chad and Patrick because they gave up their wanting to have a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And so he couldn't get that baby for Nora, and that's why they weren't necessary anymore, and that's why he killed them.
I have a question. So why does he want to give Nora a baby? And
because as he and Moira have a conversation last week, she says at the very end of the episode, what is with you wanting to... it's something that he wants to please the women of this house.
Okay.
And that's what he's doing. He wants
because
to please
it seems
Nora.
Like a lot of the women whom have passed in the house have they can't seem to process the fact, except for Hayden, that they have passed.
Okay.
As we saw, as
he's
evidenced with the Black Dahlia, she has no idea what happened to her. Nora has no idea what happened to her.
Right.
And there were so many misdoings for women in the home to begin with from its conception.
And I think it also plays on some larger issues between Tate and Constance that I think are still left to be answered.
Right. We don't know why they have such a strained relationship.
We don't. And we're going to find out soon. Yeah. I know that. And I think that he wants to please these other women because of what's happened between him and Constance.
Right.
But so Constance...
He has mommy issues.
Completely. Okay. But so Constance has this conversation with Travis where she now wants to have this kid with him, and Travis freaks out like a 25-year-old
should
their octogenarian girlfriend about.
We're give him that age.
Got it.
By the way, sure casual thrown in of octogenarian. Yeah. Did I hear?
I caught it. I was looking around for anyone else to join in.
Wait, who said octogenarian?
I did. She's not, though. She's not 80, but I just threw that out there.
Oh my God. I was focusing on this tablet thing.
Okay.
That's also why you didn't notice the dog.
Yeah.
I was writing.
Yeah, probably.
Question. That Answer. Thing upstairs, I mean, it's a person.
Excuse me.
Bo.
My favorite character on the show.
is that Constance's
yes.
son?
Yes. That was her baby
that's
as well.
That's the third of
three
the fourth.
Of four.
So that's been revealed. So pretty much,
okay, so we haven't met the fourth.
Pretty much Tate's like the only one
normal.
Who...
Okay.
Well, she said earlier on, as we've discussed before, that she had four children and only one of them was the picture
was
of physical perfection, okay. But he was messed up inside.
And she was
referring to Tate.
Okay, got it.
So we met Addie and Bo, who obviously had their physical issues.
So is Bo dead?
Bo is dead.
Yeah, okay. Larry killed Bo, and now Bo is a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
House.
Okay.
Bo,
I remember
Larry
that.
Smothered okay. him for Constance.
Bo is a fox, so leave him alone. Okay.
Didn't say anything about that.
All right.
No one said
take your aggression.
No one was hating on Bo. Just was asking some questions.
So Travis balks at this idea.
Balks. Nice one.
I know. You were so good with the words.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
It's finals week for Billy, everybody.
It is.
Yeah.
He's been studying.
My SATs.
Yeah.
So he wants something to do with this. He wants to be his career. He wants to be, I guess, a model. She talks about, you want to be 25 feet up in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
And she dismisses this, that's not what's important anymore. And I can give you a family, I can give you a community, I can give you all this that's really important, and trust me, I've been there, blah, 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 which she's correct. And he, wants his dreams to be realized, and so he runs out, and he's like, I don't want to do this. And he tries to hit her, and she warns him that the last person who ever raised a hand to her met a very grisly and untimely end. Was shot
say
three
least.
Times in the chest.
Yeah.
And so he leaves, and we see him again in bed with Hayden, and this is when Hayden... helps him realize that he actually does love
through hate sex
and wants he's gotten his anger out and has sort
time.
Of gotten
Works
over it
every time.
And Hayden has, as we saw and we'll talk about later, was spurned by Ben at this point and finally realizes that she has nothing with him anymore, that it's done. And this is the second time in the span of an hour that Hayden is being turned away because Travis is walking away from her too and realizing that he wants to go back to Constance. And Hayden, like she said to Ben, can I just have a hug? Mm-hmm. And Travis, of course, goes in and is made
he
a ghost.
His demise.
That's what I thought she was going to do to Ben. I thought she was going to kill him. Like, she was like, can I just have a hug?
Yeah, because she asked him for the much. Creepiest hug ever.
Yeah, something about her being like, can I have a hug? I knew she was going to kill someone.
Yeah,
I think that she we'll talk about it when we get to Hayden, but I think she was thinking about whether she should kill Ben or not at that moment, and I think she was debating.
Mm-hmm.
But so we see immediately after being stabbed to death, ghost Travis appears
and
he goes, his
dead body.
Well, I guess Constance was right. I'd never be famous.
I'm loving your reactions tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you practiced last night.
I did.
So did he just sort of say that rhetorically? It's not like Constance can see the future.
No, yeah, he was just saying because now he's dead.
So right.
He's never gonna be famous.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I just never know when they're going to throw me for a loop. Like all of a sudden, Constance.
No,
can
I think it was more
predict.
Just like, it was funny.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
It was really
like yeah.
Right.
Just
like
a it was really gallows humor there,
yeah.
Like real dark humor.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm dead now. So she was right.
Guess I'll never make it to Times Square.
And then the Black Dahlia comes in and says, "No,
you can be the most famous person alive."
Yeah.
Just like she realized like the episode that she was able to become in really. A tragic story about this woman.
There's a difference between fame and infamy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
Which I think is the tragedy of the story.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. And so he is rendered a corpse and dismissed of. His body is...
Well, they had the doctor pull a black Dahlia on him.
Yeah, yeah. Right, as we saw earlier in the episode that he, according to the American Horror Story lore, is responsible for the Black Dahlia. And he did the same thing for portability.
Mm-hmm. Right. Portability.
Here's my question. To make them happy.
Did I just hear a doorbell?
Yeah.
I did too.
I could have sworn that...
Creepy.
Oh my god, the Black Dahlia is here. I could have sworn that the Black Dahlia, when the woman was pushing her child in the stroller and looked, that was the front yard of the house.
I watched it again. It was waterfront property because you could see the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So. It was an empty lot.
Yeah, it was just some.
Because I was going to say the real body was found in a random field.
Oh, yeah.
And that was what they were trying to replicate with the lot.
Yeah. For some reason, I did a lot of imagining myself. Apparently, last night.
You're a creative watcher.
Yeah.
But so
it's okay.
And I loved how Hayden, when they're trying to figure out who can get the body off, because clearly she says, "Okay, Casper, how we can cut him up, but what are we going to do with him?" And she says, "I have someone who owes me a favor."
I knew it was going to be him.
And as we see,
I had no idea. I was like, "Who the hell owes her a favor?"
The one who killed her. Yeah.
Right. He owes her the ultimate.
Did not cross my mind.
The one who smacked her in the face with a shovel.
Yeah. Well, I don't see that as owing her anything. Like, you are dead, Hayden. Nobody owes you crap. Deal with
it. Not after her behavior. She just continually reminds me of why I dislike her so much.
Right, exactly. Get over yourself.
She's kind of funny.
She's so annoying and scary. No, she is so annoying.
She's crazy. I wrote down Hayden's nutso, but she's funny.
It's just funny.
She's enjoying to as like a viewer to watch, but she's like the ultimate psychopath.
And she's the only one who like really seems to understand what's going on with the ghost aspect of it.
I love how she tells it like it is and just like walks up to people and says, like,
"This is how it's going to go down." Yeah.
I loved that about her.
I did really appreciate the flashback of the first time they met in the bar, clearly after she needed some tutoring.
The first
apparently.
Time she seduced.
Although Ben was so embarrassing. I would have been like, no.
Ben had no game.
No offense.
Ben had no game in that
bar.
Well,
I mean, he shouldn't because he's married.
Right.
He doesn't, so.
Well, let's get into Ben and his game, because this week was really about sort of the three, like, a trio of temptation for Ben and his game within
so
the house this week.
I'm so proud of him for resisting.
He said no.
Oh.
Yeah, he's finally.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm not really proud of him, because anyone should do that.
Well,
but.
Right. True, but
Ben is on my hit list right now.
He's like a sex addict, correct? Can we assume that?
By definition, Ryan Murphy called him a sex addict.
Yes. Okay, so he's a sex addict, and there are two girls like fondling each other in front of him, and he was
two
like,
beautiful girls.
Yeah.
Getting all lezzy times.
So we can be a little proud of him. We can throw him a bone.
Right.
And like.
No, of course. But this episode was really about. There was some growth for Ben, as we saw towards the very end. I mean, three quarters of this episode, he was a raging asshole.
Yeah.
And then, the very end.
Redeeming moment.
I think the scene where he went and visited Vivian in the hospital ward.
Brutally cruel.
Done. He's literally forever on my hate list. I'm sorry. That was horrendous. You have the audacity to accuse your wife when you don't have any evidence whatsoever that she was potentially cheating.
Other than your psycho girlfriend who's obsessed with you.
Or the fact that she's pregnant with someone else's child.
Yes, but
she's also claimed to him that she was raped.
Yes. Okay. He completely ignored it. Had her committed, without looking into this.
Then
goes and says, "The last thing I'm going to do in my entire life is help you get out of here."
But also, this is the thing. If it was just Vivian that had cheated, maybe he's that mad. But for him to be a cheater first, and then
100% complete hypocrisy.
Right. But what he said to her, which there's a little bit of understanding, is he was angry not at the cheating, but at her hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Because he believed that she was a cheater. But she was acting so saintly and punishing him for so long. And then to the evidence he's been given that she did the same thing was why now he wants nothing to do with her.
Also, he had witnessed the flirtation between her and
the security guard.
Morris Chestnuts.
But what he said to her was nothing.
No, you know what?
What show are
you
watching?
You're the one who said there was.
You know what? Yes, but it was never acted on. And you can't get angry at something if it's never acted on.
Right, but now he brings it back. Now he thinks it couldn't have been.
Because there's this baby, this like mysterious baby. So, I don't know.
And Hayden said the one thing he had already been curious about. So he was right there to believe
exactly.
it. Because he had witnessed a little flirtation. And then having
and then
somebody
she said
say,
she saw
having
it
somebody say, yeah, that
she saw them get together.
Yeah. But what he said to her, it doesn't matter.
It was still...
It was
awful.
Horrendous.
It was so cold.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Very cold.
Poor little thing in that bed.
Yeah, she just laid there.
That was so sad.
And listened. Oh my God, poor woman is probably so traumatized. If she didn't need to be committed before, she certainly does now.
She wasn't already traumatized enough.
Right.
I know.
And then, she is holding her own, though.
Yeah.
I'll give it to her. She's learning how to work the system very quickly.
I would have committed suicide on day two of being haunted. Like, no.
Or you would have just let them take you. Like, okay, yeah. Fine, whatever. I'm not going to find anymore.
Seriously.
Why bother?
Well, to go from living that peachy keen life in Boston, then you move to LA and all of a sudden.
I don't think life in Boston was that peachy keen.
Obviously, you had
your husband having an affair is peachy keen compared to what they've dealt with in Los Angeles.
That's why I think Violet is such a creepy, weird person for after being terrorized wanting to like live in the house
because she's in love with Tate.
I don't care, it's weird.
Right.
Violet, she can be in love with Tate from an apartment.
Conspicuously absent Violet this week is turning into a real creep.
Yes. And I do have like a small
we'll talk about that in predictions since we didn't really have anything to recap for her this week. But so we do see, you know, Ben, like we talked about, he's gone through these temptations this week, and then finally at the end he's gone and spoken and given this horrible, horrific, cruel speech to Vivian, and then comes home and is starting to piece some things together, realizing that maybe she isn't the liar that he thinks that she is, and not delusional like he thinks she is.
Because he sees the suit, right?
He finds
like
the
that
suit.
Moment.
And he has that final moment.
Well, he looked for it.
Oh, okay, well...
Yes.
He still found it.
He searched for it. But yes, he did find it.
Because it should have been thrown away for what he
exactly.
knew. Right. But for it to be somewhere in the house means that someone did something with
it.
Right. And so then he has his final moment with Moira, really his final test. He's fired Moira. He's told her to get out of here when he rebuffs her with the Black Dahlia. And she's come back and she's still trying to tempt him again and still on her thing. Isn't this what all men want? Because that's what her... Her purpose in her continued existence is to do this to men. That's what she's here for.
Right.
To taunt them for the rest of their life.
She seduces any man she comes across.
Right. And it's really what she thinks is the men's penance.
But why is that the purpose?
It's her revenge. It's her revenge on why she died, because she was forced into sex with Constance's husband and she was murdered because of that. So she is out to destroy men who come into this house, who also replicate what the same man was, because Ben wasn't a saint when he came into the house to begin with. But so he... Finally, he's like, look, I'm not into this. I really want you to help me and explain this. And young Moira turns to walk away and reveals herself as old Moira and says, congratulations. She says, congratulations, you're finally beginning to see things as they are.
Huge.
So Ben turning a stone, a corner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fact that he didn't have like a larger reaction to it shocked me.
I know. I'm like, all of a sudden she's old within 1 second. Like, well, who are you?
Here's the thing, right? Realistically, if you're talking to some woman and she like walks away and she like turns into somebody else, I don't know that I would do much more than just kind of be like, I don't know what else I could really do in the shock of the moment.
You have a more physical reaction.
I maybe would fall down.
Yeah.
Pee on myself.
Okay, let's hope that
Let's hope. Here's my theory and question. Okay, so when Moira was killed, she was young Moira. Obviously,
correct.
She was that age. So all the other ghosts do not age. They are as they died. So my question originally was, okay, well then why is she old to anyone?
Right.
Because the women see her soul. So her soul is older.
Was an old soul.
And so finally, and men always see her as the sexy thing. Because that's what they want to see. That's what she said. So finally, Ben... saw her soul. He
looked past it to get something else from her rather than sex.
Right. But do you think it was not just because of that, or do you think Moira has the ability
to be how she wants to be seen?
I think she can control it.
I think from an old interview with Ryan Murphy that we read, that she sort of has control over it, because there is an episode where she's revealing herself to a woman as young Moira.
Which we haven't seen yet.
Okay, so then she controls that.
Yes. Okay, because that's what I was wondering.
But I think it has more to do with the actual person than it does with
her
how she wants to be revealed.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong, haven't we seen scenes with Moira in the kitchen with Ben and Vivian.
Yes.
And when she's
they
speaking
see them differently.
To, exactly. So isn't it sort of open to interpretation with regards to whoever Moira is talking to? Because Ben sees her as the hot Alexandra Breckenridge and Vivian sees her as Frances Conroy.
The hot Frances
right.
Conroy.
It's
actually that sex right. goddess.
Very sexy.
That milky eye.
Yeah. Oh, gets us every time.
I do think that it's there, it is something within the person who she's speaking to, because, like we said, we've seen her in scenes with people who see her various ways. So it's not a physical visage that she's right. putting out. It's more like what they interpret
right.
her as.
Okay. That, she tries to be all wise with Vivian and tells her what's good for the baby and blah, 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 blah. And they have, like, nice girl chats.
But
so
I
she's
like
old.
That Moira tries to protect Vivian.
And
I like
finally
that she
told her what was going on yeah. and, like, get out of here.
Yeah. yeah.
Which, of course, she did, not in the way she'd like. But...
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But, okay, so what does this mean? That finally, Ben no longer sees Moira as a sex object anymore.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's he fired her,
see,
and
why
she's
I'm
gone.
Proud of him, mm-hmm.
Well, she's not gone.
But where can she go?
Right. She can't. She
I
can't.
I think that she will... Obviously, she can't go. I think... When she starts helping him and maybe giving him clues, he'll let her work there again because she's now an old woman who's not going to tempt him.
Right, right. Exactly.
Well, what's going to happen when he fires her and all she does is lurk? He'll be like, Kate, go home.
No, I think he wants... First of all, they left it at the door.
I think it'll pick up where he's going to try and talk to her immediately.
He's going
to
say, hey, why are you old? And
how did this happen, number one?
Yeah.
Number two, what else do you know?
And second of all, she knows stuff. So he's starting to catch on.
She's been there forever, of course.
Yeah.
They're all wising up now. Both him and Vivian are really beginning to see things.
They're cluing in, finally.
Exactly. Last thing I want to talk about, I mean, Vivian's story this week was really small and really not much.
Fulfilling.
We talked about what her interaction, I guess, with Ben, really, though they didn't interact. Mm. He just yelled.
Yeah.
And then she does have her one other scene with Constance where she, you know, lets Constance in on the fact that she's going to pretend that this didn't happen or so she can get out. Now, my question to you guys is, how wise do you think that was for her to let Constance in on that? Because do you think it suits Constance to have her stay there so she can get the baby? Do you think Constance will help her or not?
I don't think so, because a woman who's committed and gives birth to anybody, even if you're in prison or if you're in a mental institution, they go directly to the state.
Yeah, the baby becomes
custody
of the state.
What about the father?
Exactly. It doesn't matter. It goes to the state.
What?
But if you have one fit parent...
I thought they do go to the father
if they're
married.
You know, I obviously thought watching this that obviously Constance has ulterior motives and she wants to hijack the baby for herself, but I was reading this interesting article. It's, I believe, TV.com. Let me just read a little bit for you guys and see if this makes sense. They're making the argument that Constance is actually maybe on Team Vivian.
She's a crazy old woman
who loves babies. So... They said, Constance returned this week and she was just as amazing as ever. Is it just me or is Constance slowly morphing into a heroine? There have been heavy implications that Constance is somehow involved in Vivian's pregnancy or at least knows exactly what's in her womb. But this week, when she learned Tate had fathered one of the twins, she seemed upset and angry with him. Maybe her creepy interest in Vivian's pregnancy exists simply because she just really does like babies. She then later paid Vivian a visit at the institution, and Vivian seemed genuinely grateful, particularly when she opened up about her spectral rape, and Constance wholeheartedly believed her. It's still difficult to know what exactly Constance's goals are, but this episode went a long way in suggesting that she's just a weird lady with ultimately decent intentions.
And wait, I want to add something on to what DJ said, because I was talking to David about earlier and Billy yesterday. But on top of that, when Constance gave Violet that chocolate cupcake, I feel like she was doing that to kill Violet so Violet would die in the house. Because she has that connection with Vivian, how much Vivian cared for her daughter within that moment, and she realized, and then she came back with the chocolate cake. So I'm wondering if the reason why Constance doesn't want that house to be destroyed is because she wants to be with her family. So I'm wondering if she was trying to, you know, kill Violet so that way Vivian wouldn't leave and they would have a connection off of what you just said.
Hmm.
I think Constance likes Vivian. I think
seems very far-fetched.
No, but I do think Constance likes Vivian. I think she has something in her that she was cheated on. She thought her, you know, her husband was trying to have sex with Moira. She walked in, so she has this soft spot for Vivian. That's like
she was sees cheated on,
and
her.
Yeah, and she feels bad for her. And
I
she
don't
wants
believe
to help
it
her.
In any way,
so,
shape, or
really?
Form.
So you think Constance has ulterior motives?
Of course, she does. Now that she realized
she
that
wants this baby, yeah, she does I think want she wants baby. To get it right. For
I, she may exactly. want to get it right, but I don't think that Constance is evil.
I don't think
because
she's evil,
I think that her ultimate terror at what Tate did signified that was she had
right.
no part in
she
that plan and
that.
She didn't want to have yeah. a part in that plan.
Mm-hmm. But it was at the end of the day her fault, if you think about it, because no kid just does that on their own without being raised to be a psychopath.
Well, okay. So what are your thoughts on the on the chocolate cake? Why was okay. that thrown into this storyline?
Because. Didn't she want Violet to get away from Tate?
No. That was before that she even knew that the...
yeah, this was the first episode.
She just wanted...
The second there, episode.
Well, because the chocolate cake wouldn't have killed her. It would have made her Violet
yeah,
feel sick.
Vomit.
Yeah. Because the girl didn't die
bleeding.
From it until she... But it wouldn't kill you. I don't
it
think
doesn't,
that
because
that would
people
kill
used
you.
To take that to... Like, if they were sick, if you had food poisoning or something, you to get it out of your system. People used to self... Induce it. Like, yeah. you know...
Because
so
that girl who... The girl who ate it was like, I just need to go to the hospital, and then... The axe is what killed that girl.
Right,
who actually
right,
the cake.
Right.
And I do remember reading an interview from Ryan Murphy about that, that there was something about, it had something to do with Constance's feelings towards Vivian about having a child who she loved that Vivian doesn't have anymore.
Right.
And she was, like, bitter about that, and that's why she was trying to do something to Violet. That was the gist of what Ryan Murphy had said. So there is a lot of Constance's motives are... aimed at Vivian. Vivian is the mm-hmm. reason she's doing things.
Maybe she thought Violet was being an evil little child, and she likes Vivian, and she was just trying to be mean to Violet.
I don't think so.
I think she likes Vivian.
No, I honestly feel that she has no good feelings towards Vivian.
I think she has good feelings towards Vivian. I just think she has a lot.
We'll see, ladies. Who's always right about this show?
Oh, don't get so snug.
Not
got
always,
one thing
I was right
right.
about
two
Tate.
Things. Two things.
I was
right
about
Tate.
Tate.
You were right about Tate being the rubber man, but I was right about Tate being her baby.
All right.
Constance's baby.
Do we need to talk about Vampire Diaries and the Archangel Michael? Because
yes, we should.
Bring that
we
up.
Should bring that up.
We're not talking about
Let's
bring that up. Diaries on
All right.
the show.
So.
And this baby is like the coming of the apocalypse.
Right. Mm. Oh, yeah. They brought in that
right.
whole Pope storyline.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. Is we can only trust Billy Dean as far as we can throw her.
Right.
She could be full of shit. She's like some
yeah,
crazy
I don't like
woman.
Her. I die for her. She's
I like her a lot, but I don't know that anything she says can actually be believed.
She's the batshit crazy. She says she's had a lifetime pilot
yeah.
that's going to come out.
It's
like
a spirit baby. I believe her. This thing cannot be like a
good.
Normal. Nothing good's going to come of this.
It's very reminiscent of Twilight for me.
No.
Renee.
What? Definitely different.
What? Yeah, it's a half vampire, half human. This is half ghost, half human.
Okay.
Veto. And I'm sorry, wait.
Is there any truth to that
Pope's box?
Tear room?
Who
yes.
the
okay.
hell knows?
There is
there
truth.
Really?
Ooh.
Yes. Ryan Murphy, the interview we have with Ryan Murphy, he talks about it.
Okay.
Creepy.
But okay. You guys weren't here last week when we did our show the night before Thanksgiving, and I had made the prediction piggybacking off of yours,
mm-hmm.
where I had said that what I have a feeling that this is going to come down to is there's one evil baby in Vivian and there's one good baby.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it is going
and
to be.
Fight each other?
I really think that's like where this is going to go. Ah. That one is the key to stopping the other.
Oh my God.
That's like that's my thing. But anyway.
I like that.
That's some Cain and
I like
evil.
That a lot.
I know. I want to talk about. I want to ask you some questions about Hayden before we jump to commercial because this episode was really heavy on Hayden, and I'm really surprised that Hayden has become as central to the story as she has.
I know.
Because she. It didn't seem it would go this way in the beginning. And she was very, you know, she was still back in Chicago. She was in
Boston.
Right.
Or Boston, excuse me. She was in that, it didn't seem like she would become as central as she has.
Yeah.
But it really seems like she's becoming like a key figure.
A focal point.
In this story. What are your thoughts on that? Like, what are you feeling on Hayden? Because she's so separated from all the other mystery that it's like, it's interesting to me that she's becoming so important.
Well, it's just, I love that Hayden is being introduced more as like a focal point for the story, because I think it does add to the craziness that's going on because she has this whole other storyline with Ben, I just don't understand what her motives are and what she thinks is going to actually happen.
Right.
Like, what do you think? Like, Ben's going to fall in love with you? He knows.
No. Well, she's psychotic.
You're dead. He freaking buried you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he thinks that she, like, played a trick on him. He doesn't,
Which
he doesn't know what to think.
Which
whatever.
Is
that's
insane.
Which is insane.
I don't know what he's doing.
Like, so I'm just going to throw that one out there. Most of this is a little crazy.
Yeah. But
a lot of it is crazy.
I mean, she waltzed into that kitchen so casually.
Right. Like,
I
don't know how. She knew she was going to fake, like, I'm alive now. Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Well, because at that point, she
was
still
something was going to happen. And Ben was already about to be in trouble. Why would he be like, no, you're dead?
Right. And she needed to get him off. Because at that point she still thought she had some chance of being with him, so she's like, I can't let him be pinned for me being
and go to jail and not be in this house.
But I think that they're okay. All the other ghosts in the house are all they like know what's going on. They know how it works. They all have different motives and different agendas. I think that Hayden is like going to shake things up. Like as I said, how she just tells it how it is, and she just gets mad in a second or does this. And I think she's going to maybe discover things or be the new one that's kind of going to uncover secrets because
she's like the ringleader of the ghost.
She knows that who's dead and who's not. She's playing both sides and she wants to find out information and she's psycho. So
and she's
it's an understatement.
Yeah.
I like that she's just so outwardly psycho. Like,
yeah.
I never know where Constance stands. You know, Tate does demonic things, but I think he really does love Violet. So, like, people I'm sort of wishy-washy on. Hayden is the only constant that I can count on for some hardcore crazy bitch behavior.
Right.
And Jesus Christ, Kate Mara brings it. Like, every episode, she just blows me away with her incredible acting and how she just taps into
her
that.
Incredible.
Have we checked in on Kate Mara lately? Remember we were talking about Kate last time?
Mental evaluations for Kate Mara.
Anyone check on that?
None of there.
How is Kate Mara? All right, well, let's jump to commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the true history of the Black Dahlia. We have some fan mail that was sent in to read, and we have an interview with Ryan Murphy, so we will be right back.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives. And more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV after shows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
All right, welcome back. So, we received today at our AfterBuzz email address a letter from a fan with some questions that they wanted us to talk about. So I'm going to read this and then we'll discuss the questions that our friend Mark from Rhode Island had. So he says, "Hi, Billy and David and anybody else hosting tonight."
That would be you.
I was wondering if you might discuss something for me on tonight's show. I'd love to call in and bring it up myself, but I'm working and we'll have to catch the podcast later. So we know Moira's main goal as a spirit is to get her body dug up so that she can finally be free. However, I've been wondering something since the Rubber Man episode, and I'm now even more curious after seeing Spooky Little Girl. In Rubber Man, we saw Chad and Patrick were murdered in the house, but officially it was declared a murder-suicide. That leads me to believe that they were not buried in the backyard, but were instead buried somewhere away from the house. How then are they stuck there like Moira? In Spooky Little Girl, likewise, this week we saw that the girl in the beginning, the aspiring actress Dahlia victim, was also killed in the house, but her corpse was moved off the land. And so was Constance's boyfriend's, yet both are still in the house. One could also assume that Tate, Nora, Charles, etc. all must have been buried somewhere else outside of the house as well. All are still ghosts in that house. So why does Moira think anything will be different for her should someone discover her corpse? Or is she just wanting it to be found so that Constance will pay for what she's done? Thanks in advance, Mark from Rhode Island." First of all, Mark, smart, because I never would have, like, I never keyed that in, that she's the only one who's actually buried there besides Hayden.
I read this and was like, oh, well, I think
I do think it's something that they had revealed in the show, that all you need to do is actually die on the property. Like, when they had the prospective buyer in the house,
they wanted the body.
They
taken
wanted
away
the body
so he wouldn't
taken away,
die
so he
officially.
Wouldn't die in the house. And when Constance wanted to get Addie's body to the house,
but so it stands to question. We see that Moira is so keyed into everything that's gone on here. She's been there forever.
Right.
She clearly is aware. So why would Moira think that that's what?
Well, I think
will help
it's like.
Her? Or does she think that it's getting her justice is what will allow her to move on?
All of those people that he mentioned are not necessarily stuck in the house. First of all, the Black Dahlia just walked in, so she hasn't been there the whole time. She's been waltzing around God knows where.
The gay couple.
The gay couple come and go as they please.
No, they don't.
No, they
don't.
They said in
the
Halloween episode that they remember they all had to come back Halloween morning, and they were all the ghosts are walking back.
I know that, but it's not like they ever show them
right,
in the basement.
And Hayden explained that last week, I think, when she was talking to Nora, that they can make themselves appear and disappear as they want. And I think it's just,
right.
I think
okay.
the reason we don't see them is because they can't get them to all come back every week,
yeah.
the creators of the
okay.
show.
But what about Nora? Nora walked in.
But she was still in the property. They can't leave the property, which includes the yard. Moira, we first saw her in the yard.
Yeah.
So they make themselves visible.
I'm not convinced that all those people are stuck there. My theory is that if you die on the property, then you are a ghost that is alive wandering around. If you're buried on the property, then you cannot leave the property.
That's what I was basically saying, but not so eloquently.
Have we not seen scenes of Patrick and, I'm sorry, what's the other name?
Chad.
Patrick and Chad fighting, like, in a kitchen. Like, I thought they had their
that
own
was,
house.
No, that was that house.
They,
that's a flashback when they lived
Ben
in
and
the
Vivian
house.
Renovated that the house as well. When they moved in.
Okay, so they
that,
just choose to show themselves whenever they want. They
exactly.
They're invisible and they exist on that property. Do they have to eat?
No.
They're dead.
Yes.
They don't have to eat.
I'm sorry. It's just,
they can be stabbed and woken back up.
The afterworld confuses me. Ghosts need to eat.
They have,
I've just made that decision
sustenance.
Right now, Ryan. Ghosts need to eat.
They order
Let's
takeout.
Feed these people.
No, they eat bologna sandwiches.
Yeah.
But it does.
Oh.
That's what keeps them so.
Was that a ringer?
Virile.
Illusion?
Okay.
I think more of it plays to what Moira wants to have done. And we did hear, I don't remember which episode it was a couple of weeks ago, when somebody talked about, or I think it was the first time we saw Billy Dean, and she talked about the reason why some ghosts don't move on, and it is because there's still something they have to do. There's spirits that are
unfinished
at unrest. They have unfinished business. And Moira's unfinished business appears to be having justice for her murder.
Exactly.
And she wants her body dug up so that somebody will pay for what happened to her. She wants Constance
to get caught,
to be brought to justice. And
right.
I think that that is what she will then need to transition.
Right. Okay. And if you want to look at it like that, with the unfinished business, which does make sense, Nora wants her baby back.
Mm-hmm.
Tate has mommy issues, but he also doesn't know he's dead.
Yeah.
The Black Dahlia can't wake up from her dreams.
Wait, what
Hayden,
about the couple?
They were murdered.
That
was a murder-suicide.
Right.
But it wasn't.
Not really.
They
right,
were
well,
murdered
they
by somebody else.
Right.
But they never finished their relationship and their...
Oh, they have unresolved issues.
With
right.
each other.
And
who, Hayden has unresolved issues with Ben.
I think it's just spirits who don't pass in peace are presumed to be left to finish their peace until they can transition. I think
right.
that's okay. the
so
it's idea
until you get
that
closure.
And you, yeah.
You
which I think is a theme that's been sort of replicated in a lot of ghost stories.
Right,
ghosts,
I mean,
ghosts sometimes remain present because there's something they didn't get to finish when they
were
before
alive.
They died, and they or their death was something that they want to get justice for because
right.
it's being posed
I mean,
as something
Jennifer
else.
Love Hewitt had a whole series based on that.
Yes.
And now apparently if Jennifer Love Hewitt did it, it's true.
And Billy Dean can do it too.
Right.
On
Don't
Lifetime.
Pretend like you guys never watched that show.
Ghost Whisperer.
I didn't watch Ghost Whisperer.
I would never watch that.
I didn't either.
Shame
Sorry.
On you.
Yeah.
Shame on every single one of you.
All right.
Oh, apparently Jesse watched it.
No, he did not. He didn't.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Should
we're
we
gonna,
just jump into news and
yeah,
gossip?
We're going to jump to news and gossip with Jesse in the booth.
All right, so Entertainment Weekly had an interview with Ryan Murphy once again. Let's go back to last week. Did you always plan on Tate being Rubberman? Ryan said, yes, we did. I think the thing about it, even from the first episode and the first therapy session, there was always a certain thing to his character that led you to believe him. People in some weird way are pissed that he's the Rubberman, like the fact that he raped Violet's mother makes him a bad guy. To which I'm responding, well, what about the high school massacre? To Evan's great credit and the credit of the writers, I think Evan's done an amazingly difficult job making a monster sympathetic. We had the great monologue by one of the high school girls early in the season where she says the devil is beautiful. So if you look back, we really have put those teasers in there. I'm thrilled people are pissed about that choice. It's a very difficult thing for Violet because, of course, she will find out the truth. Tate is the true monster of the show, but because Evan has made him so likable and lovable and complex, I think people are torn.
Yeah.
Totally torn. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's funny, though, that this is what has made them more torn. Like, he brutally murdered people, and they're like, oh, he's cute. And now
he's
like,
he's nice to Violet.
He's their man. Like, no, what? He's, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's so
because
weird.
Because it threw everybody off, I think. And
nope.
It was just such
it
a surprise.
Off
except
at all.
For the lovely children.
And me. Hello.
And you.
I wasn't with you guys, but I knew it was me. Not all along.
He just has a nice demeanor about him.
Well, he just seems
because
wounded
when he's
and tragic.
He just seems really lost.
Exactly.
And he's so clueless. He just, like, is a wandering little, like,
soul.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he doesn't know he murdered all those people. Like, that, obviously, it's not okay, but, like...
Right, he is
yeah,
clueless.
He still
to
throw
it.
That out there.
He still did it.
Right.
All right, so Ben at the end seemed to wonder if Vivian was actually telling the truth. When will they all discover that Tate is the Rubber Man? Ryan said, if they do, and I'm not going to say if they do, it will be the end. Next, they asked...
The end. That's ambiguous.
Of the season,
of the series. Of life.
Of their life.
Yeah.
Very well, could be that, too.
Next, they asked the question we've all been asking, is it medically possible to have twins with two different fathers? Yes, it is. We looked it up. It's literally like a satanic Maury Povich episode come to life. We researched it. It's a medical anomaly.
And
semi-identical twins.
Semi-identical twins. Haha. Or polar twins.
Ooh. Oh, is that the street lingo?
Which is the actual, they're actually called polar twins.
Yeah. Not demon fetus babies?
Not demon fetus babies.
Okay.
That's not polar twins.
The scientific term. It's weird.
That's weird. Sydney and I like throwing around that term quite often.
Yeah. Awkward.
Okay.
Well,
so Billy Dean gave a discussion of the Antichrist and the end of days. Does this mean the final finale is apocalyptic? That's an interesting point. My response to that is wait till the last episode.
Of course.
Of what?
Also,
of the season, of the show?
Of life.
Of their life?
Who says that what Billy Dean says is true? Just because Dilly Peen has an opinion.
Dilly Peen.
Wow.
Doesn't mean it's accurate.
Is that written or was that a Freudian slip?
Freudian slip. I'm thinking about baby demon apocalyptic peen up in here.
Did you say apocalyptic?
He said apocalyptic peen.
I heard apocalyptic peen.
Well, wait, so speaking of... Wait.
Let him finish.
Speaking of peen, is it true about the Pope's box? Yes, I always have been obsessed with it. As an Irish Catholic boy, I was told that story in grade school by a nun. When I first saw Seven, and when Brad says, "What's in the box? What's in the box?" that's the first thing I thought of because I wanted to know, hey, what's in the box? I think that sort of Antichrist baby demon is such a part of horror mythology that we definitely wanted to explore it. But just because we explore it doesn't mean it's true. But it really has...
There's tears in both Sydney and Stephanie's eyes. I want everyone out there to know.
Well,
that.
I'm really
laughing
immature.
So hard.
I saw my dilly peen.
Like, I'm sorry.
Much.
If someone says, like, poo or peen, like, I'm going to laugh.
Oh, that was really good.
Okay,
one.
Sorry. Keep going.
But it really has incited, much like Tate being Rubberman, a strong reaction. We have four more to go, and it is very zigzaggy and plotty, and I think it will go to unexpected places. But just because she says that, take a breath.
Right.
So now that we've heard from Tim.
You guys are doing like creepy sign language over there.
No, we're doing math because he says.
No, we're doing math.
No. Because Ryan Murphy said, Ryan Murphy says that there's 4 more episodes left, but we know that there's only 3 because they're doing the finale as a 2-hour special.
But
okay.
They cut it down to 90 minutes. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I did see that. That's really upsetting. It's an hour and a half and not 2 hours.
Yeah, it's really
That's
upsetting.
So rude.
Yeah. It needs to fit in a time slot.
And they want you to buy the DVD so you can watch the extra half hour.
I do fit in a time slot.
Yep. There's all right, Dilly Peen, are we done over there?
Yes. Thanks for reading the news and gossip, Dilly Peen.
Yeah, thanks, Dilly.
Well,
what?
Do you want to hear the rest of it?
Oh.
We thought you were done.
All right, I'll be done. We'll read the Rex for next week.
We'll read the Rex for next week.
We have a lot of time and we need to jump into predictions.
Yeah, let's get into predictions. Thank you, Dilly.
Thanks.
Thanks, Peen.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions.
I had to take over.
Oh my god! That
was
scary.
I saw.
I did a good job.
And I was so mad.
All right. Well, I want to let
steal my thunder.
I want to let David jump in.
Oh, my prediction!
He has a good prediction that he threw at me.
Okay.
And Jesse also has thrown this at me.
Jesse had the same prediction, but he got his from an outside source, and mine came to me
from your brain.
Because you're just so smart
and intuitive.
From my brain stem.
When I was bored yesterday, that Violet is in fact part of the deceased.
Right.
Which is
I read
why
that online.
And I don't read online.
Okay, I'm just saying you're probably right. If a lot of people are hinting at that.
Well, we did discuss this. Okay, so I came to Billy with it that I think Violet is dead. When he like walked in, I was like, Violet's dead. And he was like, yeah, they're discussing it online. And the fact that there is such outroar about, oh, she has to be dead, she has to be dead. They're probably going to throw us for a loop and she's not going to be dead.
But she tried to commit suicide. We don't know if she woke up.
On more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm. Wait, why do you think she's dead, though?
Because she overdosed one and then he moved her into the basement before she awoke. Moved her into the basement before she woke up.
And that's now when she's able to see everybody.
And now she can see all the other dead people.
So it would stand to reason that she could have actually died.
And Tate
made her believe that he was waking her up even though she was already a ghost, and that's what he was waking up.
So Tate knows everything. He just doesn't understand that he's dead.
He knows about all the other spirits living in the house, which is how he wants to help Nora.
Yeah.
And he knows about Hayden, and like he knows
that he knows how it works. He's able to summon them when he needs them and all of
so
that.
So he thinks he's being a good Samaritan, and he has not even the faintest clue about what's really going on.
I have no idea, because this week, Constance was talking to him. There's someone finally in this house who might be able to help you.
Right.
So I don't know if
I think she was mad at him because she was saying, okay, there's finally somebody in this house to help you. She wants Ben to make him realize he's dead.
To wake him up, to bring him to accept what has happened.
Right.
Yeah. But going back to the Violet guests and the thing that's been talked about, Entertainment Weekly ran a poll on it today asking people if they think that she's dead or not, because there's so many people talking about this. And we were talking about it, and I do, when Jesse actually brought it to my attention yesterday, we talked about it a little, and I thought about it more and more as I watched this week's episode, and I started to think about the timeline, and I feel like I need to go back and watch the episode, because in that same episode, she did leave the house and go to Constance's. And I don't know what order all of that
happened.
So we need to keep a log.
Right. I feel like I need to keep a log. But there's so much evidence. She hasn't been in school for 2 weeks. They've called and she hasn't been in school. We've only seen her within the confines of the house.
She wasn't even in this episode. She was locked in her room.
Yeah. So is Constance's house considered on the property?
No. So that's next door.
Which is why I'm wondering when did it happen? If she overdosed.
Why is Constance?
Constance isn't dead.
Constance is alive. Yeah. She's living.
Only her children are dead.
Yeah.
Constance,
that's why she's old.
Right. Oh. Constance is aware of what can happen in the house, and she knows about it, and that's why she brings her kids there when on the brink of death.
Okay.
So that's why she wants the house back, because she wants immortality for herself and for everybody who she loves. That's why she wants that house back and what she's trying to get Larry to do for her.
I was just confused, because she was the same age when she killed Moira that she is.
No.
Now. No, they aged her. They used Benjamin Button. Like $100,000 worth of Benjamin Button at computer FX to age her down.
She looked the same to me.
What?
See, I made the same claim. I said, was it just me? I said that the last time I hosted with you guys. I said, was it just me, or did she just have like maybe more makeup on, or she just looked a little
rewatch it because rewatch I thought she looked it. Like a lot younger. They did a lot with her face.
Go back and look at that scene.
So she was 40 when she killed Moira. She's 60
'cause that's
now.
What I was confused about. I was like, I thought she was the same age.
No, she's still alive, but it does. And we, as we were discussing this further before we came in, And I was thinking about that. Just the last thing is that if maybe she died and was actually brought back, and she's sort of a medium at this point, and that's why she can see the ghost, because she did cross over but was pulled back and is still living, which I think might be
interesting thought.
A way that, to explain it that people won't see coming.
I like that. Okay, well, hopefully next week we'll have more clarity on the whole Violet situation, because I say she's dead, but I'm just really eager to see if they're going to throw a curveball at us.
I know. All right, well, thank you guys for tuning in. From everybody here at AfterBuzz, thank you for watching. If you love what we're doing, tell your friends, bring them along. We love all of you guys.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Subscribe on iTunes. Yes. Follow us on Twitter. We all tweet each other. It's a fun show to watch online.
And thank you to all the fans who write really nice comments on the iTunes subscription section. It really means a lot to us.
And who are writing emails. If you have questions and you can't call in when we're live, email us, tweet us. We will talk about them on air like we did today with Mark from Rhode Island. So
info at AfterBuzzTV.com.
Yes. There we go. All right. Have a great night. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info at AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Demon fetus baby.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.